it is time for Arts Live and Local. And yikes, it's another packed show. I thought we were going to lighten up, but no, no, no. If you're far away, come join us. If you're local, be sure to get out and take part in something that's happening all over the map. So who's coming in today? You're going to have a touch of boogie-woogie and then tenor guitar and cabaret and royalty for a day and then dissonance and harmony. And I'll leave it for you to figure out who all those people are. Stay tuned and you will find out. Here's a little boogie-woogie to start us off. This is Bob Milne. Thanks for being here at Coast Community Radio. Music you recognize, and you may even recognize the solo piano player because he's been here before. That's Bob Milne, and my guest is Chelsea Libby, the executive director of the World Kite Museum. And I'm going to let Chelsea confirm or deny. My understanding is that this may be the only World Kite Museum in the country. Is that true?
Yeah, we are actually the only American kite museum. We are the holder of the largest collection of kites and kite-related ephemera in the Western Hemisphere. Oh, and we have the most diverse collection of kites possibly in the world, because most of the other kite museums around the world are very specialized collections.
Wow. How did this happen?
Our founder and former director, Miss Kay Beezing, and her husband, they were huge kite fans, kite enthusiasts, and attendees of our Washington State International Kite Festival that we do in Long Beach every year in August. And in the mid-80s, they got it in their heads that they thought there needed to be a museum for the kite flyers to preserve the kite history. And so they started, the museum was incorporated in 89, as a 501c3 nonprofit, and they started out in a really small house museum in downtown Long Beach, right next to the Dennis Company.
Now, were they their kites, or where did the kites come from?
A lot of them were, but we were very fortunate when we first started out doing the collection. The collection was created by the Draken Foundation, which is a huge foundation out of Seattle that is about kites and preservation. The collector actually owns, I think, over 75,000 kites from all over the world. And you can actually find them online at draken.org.
Spelled, you know how to spell
it? Draken is German for kite, so it's D-R-A-C-H-E-N. And they actually have a huge digital collection, so you can look through their collection without actually seeing it.
Fun.
But one of their founders, David Checkley, passed away, and Kay was good friends with him because he was part of the Washington State Kite Flyers Association. Mm-hmm. And he donated 1,500 kites to our museum when he passed away. And so that became the foundation for our current collection.
And this collection, I have seen some of, obviously, not everything, but one of the glorious parts is as quite a bit of diversity.
Yes. I'm actually really looking to cultivate even more diversity in the collection, but we do have one of the largest holdings of Japanese kites outside of Japan.
Oh.
We currently have an exhibit on view that we did for Tsunami Remembrance Day, which was March 11th. Mm-hmm. It's called A Thousand Cranes, and you can actually fold your own origami crane, add it to our collection. In Japan, they believe if you fold a thousand cranes, you are granted a wish, and the more people who help you fold the cranes, the greater the wish you can grant. Mm-hmm. So, you can see some Japanese kites from our collection on display in that space as well. So
nice. Now, tell me a little about you. You and I have been corresponding, but I never heard your name before, and suddenly you appear. So is this new? You're the executive director now.
Yes.
Kay was here many times, right here where you're sitting. How long you been with the museum?
I like to call myself a newly minted executive director. I came straight out of a graduate studies program in Indianapolis, Indiana. They have a museum studies program there with IUPUI, which is Indiana University and Purdue University. They're one of the first combined universities in the country. And the museum studies program is one of the newest.
This is an undergraduate or graduate?
A graduate degree.
Graduate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm wondering what you do for 4 years. But that's, it's like hotel managing, and this is.
And museum studies is actually becoming a really big discipline because it's very an interdisciplinary topic. Museums tend to attract people from all walks of life.
So, what was your walk of life? Where did you come out? what made you think I want to run a museum?
I actually had a really big administrative background from years of being an administrative assistant and a manager. Mm-hmm. I did my undergraduate studies in studio art and art history at Indiana University.
Aha, the plot thickens.
Right,
so you have an arts background. Do you make art as well?
I do when I have time. Yeah. I draw and paint, and I've always been an artist. But when I got into school, I discovered that it wasn't something I was passionate enough about to do professionally. Professional artists work extremely hard, and it takes a lot of time and effort, and I wasn't really sure that's what I really wanted to do. And I discovered art history because you're required to take those as a studio major.
And we know how important art history and exciting. We used to have a course up here at the Bill Lippman did a great job on that, but they tossed it. So anyway.
But so art history and just the idea of like the preservation of our culture, and that since like time immemorial, man has wanted to create things and leave them behind to mark his path in history.
And woman.
Yeah, and woman, of course. Humankind.
Here she sits, yes.
Humankind.
Right.
And so that really captured me, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it until I spent a few years out in the world floating about and outside of my undergraduate, and discovered I started working at the Children's Museum of Indianapolis as a gallery facilitator in 2008. And that job is one of the most fun jobs I've ever had.
What does it take? What would you say it takes to do a job like that? Because it's a pretty specific, and yet, as you say, it's interdisciplinary. It combines a lot. So does someone need an arts background?
You know,
or what?
I would say it helps, but the people who I knew during this, when I worked at the Children's Museum, they were actors, they were artists, they were educators. Some of them even had, similar administrative backgrounds. But what we all had in common was this deep passion for getting people to get their hands on and better understand culture and everything that goes along with it, the science and art and history, that shape
Chelsea,
who we are as people.
I think I want to be that when I grow up.
Yeah. It's a really cool thing. Being a museum
maybe
person,
in my next
I'm,
life.
Man.
Sounds, I mean, the concept and the it's not just dry administrative. And of course, you come, obviously, if anybody's ever been to the World Kite Museum, or just even if you haven't been there, just imagine how rich this is and fun and exciting, as well as, of course, all of the details, including fundraising and stuff like that. But
yeah.
Wonderful. So when did you come on board here?
I started in October. I actually drove cross country from Indy shortly after I received my degree from my program, which was a really fun trip, by the way. I took it as sort of an adventure. So I did lots of roadside attractions right. in Yellowstone National Park
right.
and
nice.
The Black Hills Institute in South Dakota. It was really fun. But yeah, I started October 1st, and some of the first projects I took on, we did a Northwest Kite Summit in companion with the American Kite Flyers Association, and we started discussing topics about, you know, how we grow the audience for kite flying and interest in kite flying. Mm. And I brought a lot of the information that I had learned being an interpreter, someone who interacts with the audiences for 5 years at the Children's Museum, and sort of gave that to the flyers. And
this is wonderful because, there have been a lot of exciting things like the indoor flying and the outdoor flying. And I don't even know, I don't remember at this point what Kay's background is, but I bet she is thrilled to have you there with this solid experience mm-hmm. so that you can grow the museum and just to see your baby
yeah.
doing that. So it's wonderful, wonderful.
And Kay is still very much involved.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think she'll ever truly
I hope not.
Stop being a part. And I'm very lucky as someone who yeah. is coming into this, you know, I've worked in a museum and I've done a lot of casework and I did lots of internships, but it's always kind of a whole other animal taking things that you read and applying them in real life.
Sure.
So she's an amazing yeah. resource. I'm extremely, yeah. extremely
and
lucky.
A wonderful person. And, yes. and there is a legacy for her there. So if someone is interested in helping to support the World Kite Museum, you can get in touch. What's the best way to get in touch with the World Kite Museum? Is there a website, a phone number? What?
Yeah, we have our website at www.worldkitemuseum.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on there right now. You can find out about this concert, Bob Millen mm-hmm. concert. You can find out about our Kay Beezing Legacy Fund. And we're also on the same web address as the Kite Festival. So if you're interested in visiting us in August and seeing the Washington State International Kite Festival, you can find out more information there.
Okay.
We have a Facebook page, which I've been extremely active in developing a lot of content for that. It's at facebook.com/worldkitemuseum. And you can always email me at info@worldkitemuseum.com or call the museum at
360-642-4020. 4020. Mm-hmm. Okay. The World Kite Museum is in Long Beach, 303 Sid Snyder Drive. Now, this guy, Bob Milne, he is a ragtime and boogie-woogie whiz. He's got a fabulous reputation, and he... Does he come every year? Does this become a tradition, kind of?
When they first moved into our new building, I mentioned we started as a small museum, mm-hmm. house museum. They actually purchased a building in 2004 on the Sid Snyder Beach Approach. It's a 10,000 square foot facility. And so we have a lot more space for exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did this, they did one of our board members happened to know Bob.
Uh-huh.
And mentioned this, and he offered to do a benefit concert.
Wonderful.
And they did it for about 9 years, and he's been... sort of out of circulation. He was doing other tours and it just didn't mm-hmm. come together. And he's getting older and he wants to tour more during the warmer months. So he'd previously been doing it in November. And he came back to us and said, you know, I'm going to be in the region. Do you want mm-hmm. me to come and perform sometime around Memorial Day
weekend?
Seeing
as how
weekend?
It's so warm out. Actually,
yeah.
it is 60 degrees, so we're just fine. Okay, this is happening on the 31st. That is a week from tonight. Not tonight, but a week from tonight at the World Kite Museum. And it would be probably a good idea to check it out, get some tickets in advance. Would that be a good idea?
Yep, you
we don't
can
get
go.
Prices, but we do encourage people to do that. And it's 6 o'clock.
6 opening. O'clock, the doors open. The show starts at 7. It's a benefit concert, so we do have refreshments and everything, but we ask that you might give us a donation
mm-hmm.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
The tickets are limited supply. You know, we're doing it in the museum, and there's only so much square footage.
Right.
So
right.
We have sold quite a few, but we are still hoping to get some more folks in there because
right.
it's really an amazing opportunity.
It's an opportunity to listen to some great music, support this fabulous museum, and see all the good stuff. And all the notables will be there to share their stories with you. Anything else we need to know, Chelsea?
Well, I do want to say that Bob is not just a musician, but he's a performer. And I've had some of my board members tell me that, you know, they've been to this experience and they mm-hmm. every time are just wowed and blown away by the storytelling element that comes along with it. Because
yes.
he doesn't just play in an amazing way, but he actually gets you involved in the whole culture and history of ragtime and telling you all this history to developing it and the story. and he opens himself up for audience engagement. So he actually lets you ask questions.
Wow.
And he'll expound on that and play little pieces improv that he improvs right off
I
the
hear he's a really fun guy.
Yeah.
And also, what's special here is it's in an intimate setting, so you are right there, one-on-one.
Yeah, yeah, this,
really
there's
nice.
No, you know, like, security pit between you. You know, there's no, like, huge stage lighting.
Yeah.
He actually specifically requests that we don't even bring in a PA because he wants to be able to just be that up close and personal
with
you.
Lovely.
And so, yeah.
Okay. Happening again a week from tonight, Bob Milne at the World Kite Museum. That's worldkitemuseum.com. My guest is Chelsea Libby, the executive director since last October. Congratulations. I'm delighted to have you here and to know that this museum will keep growing and keep on going. So thanks,
Thank
Chelsea.
Thank you, Carol. Yeah.
Okay. And we've got some music coming up right now from one of the performers who's going to be at the tenor guitar gathering, Gene Mann. This is a virgin experience. Hey, I forgot to mention it was a virgin experience for Chelsea to be on KMUN too. I forgot to tell her congratulations for that. She was a radio virgin, but she did beautifully. So Gene Mann is coming. Here's some music from her. And a little later, I've got Mark Josephs here, the founder and papa of the Tenor Guitar Gathering. He'll tell you all about it. Thanks for being here. KMUN KTCB Carol, your host. Listening to Gene Mann, one of the guests for tenor guitar, and I'm not sure if she's playing a tenor guitar in this one. That's a four-string guitar, and to be totally honest, I am not knowledgeable enough to tell the difference. Mark will be able to give us more information, but right now, I have royalty in the house. Yes, sirree, I have royalty in the house. Well, gonna be royalty, let's put it that way. I have Teresa Barnes. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Carol.
And Georgina Jones. Hi, Georgina.
Hi, Carol.
And I have Ocean here, too. Hi, Ocean.
Hi.
Hi. All right. Now, they are here from the Healing Circle, which is having its annual royalty for a day. I love it. I love it because I once had a used Amana freezer. Now, you're too young to know, but those of you in the audience who are old enough may remember Amana was the sponsor for Queen for a Day. And here we have Royalty for a Day. It's a fundraiser for the Healing Circle, and it sounds like a blast. So I'm glad you're all here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Tell us when this is happening and what all it involves, please.
It is going to be June 2nd, so not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, from 1 to 4 at the Elks Ballroom, which they were kind enough to donate to us for this.
Lovely.
Yeah, we had a lot of community support. So it's
space.
Yeah, this is geared towards kids and other. I mean, I'm excited that I get to dress up like a princess, too.
You too. Okay, that's big kids and little kids.
Yes.
Okay.
The Clatsop County Princesses are going to be there, showing waves, telling stories. The Astoria Community Dance Band is going to be putting on a royal ball. There'll be a parade.
Oh, my.
A hair and nail session, games, crafts. It's just going to be fun galore.
I read somewhere, I'm not sure where, it said, you know, dress up as a queen or a king or a princess or a dragon. And I went, yes, a dragon. Wait, what's that? Is that true? Can you do that?
That was a last-minute addition by me because I think dragons are awesome. I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah. I just wondered whether that would be legit. If someone showed up as a dragon, they'd be okay, right?
Yeah, I think any medieval characters, jesters, princes, knights, you name it.
Oh, my goodness. This is great. And is this an all-age function then?
I would say that the younger kids are going to probably like this the most. Maybe that's a good question for Ocean. How old are you, Ocean?
I'm 7.
Okay. Do you know what you're going to wear, Ocean?
I'm going to wear a dress and dress up as a princess.
Okay. Do you have your clothes yet?
No.
Okay. Oh, it's going to be fun, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. And Ocean's mom, Georgina. Georgina, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Healing Circle and VOCA and where this idea came from?
Sure. Well, we want to make a family-friendly event because we're all about safe communities for children. And so we thought this would be a great way for parents to interact with their kids in a fun environment. And as far as age range, I think anywhere from preschool through elementary is really kind of the age range to come.
And their parents.
And their parents. Yes, you have to be escorted by someone. And
or families, right. You said families. Yeah. Anyone. Any adult. Who's
any adult's
part
fine.
Of your-
and the tickets are just for, it's per child, so that you can have two adults come per child. So,
But we don't give prices.
Right.
But it is a fundraiser for the Healing Circle, which is a 501c3 and one of the many wonderful organizations, one of them that's dearest to my heart in this community. Tell us a little bit about the Healing Circle.
Well, we serve children in Clatsop County who are survivors of sexual abuse, and we provide our most kind of famous thing that we do is VOCA Camp, Victory Over Child Abuse Camps, and those are held every year. We have a camp for boys and a camp for girls, and last year we celebrated our 25th year of camps. And I know that Carol has been volunteering for 25 years with us as well. And it's just really a wonderful community building experience that provides safety and healing for kids who really need it. And I also happen to have our upcoming training dates, if I could give those out as well, to become a volunteer.
Sure.
We're completely volunteer-led organization. We have Teresa and I share a position there. We're about 20 hours a week between the two of us.
Okay.
And the rest is really all volunteers. And we use about 80 to 100 people every year volunteer to make camps happen. And then we do services throughout the year. And our training is in partnership with the college. And it's held as a college class, which is a free college class. And it starts August 2nd, and people could visit our new website for information, which is vocacamp.org.
Wow, cool.
And the classes are held, there's 30 hours of training, but it starts August 2nd, and you could contact us for more.
Extremely valuable training. And I just want to add that being part of this camp is not only an honor, but it is a blast. For those of you who attended camp as a kid, everything is there. There's arts and crafts. There's water sports. There's fabulous food. There's all kinds of good stuff. But there's the extra added part of special people and one-on-one adult and children buddies. But even if you're not sure that that's something you can or want to do, I highly recommend the training because I think that it's something that would make our community stronger, that does make our community stronger as we speak. So
yeah, and anyone can come to the training, whether you want to volunteer at camp or not. And we hold that open for parents as well. And anyone really interested in learning more about the dynamics of sexual abuse in our world.
Okay, so is this your only fundraiser?
No, in fact, in July, we'll be doing Mocha for Voca, which is always fun.
Yeah.
We have local coffee shops that contribute a dollar per drink for us throughout the whole county, which is really fun.
Now, wasn't that started as someone's senior project? Or I think it was
Someone has done it for a senior project.
Yeah, mm-hmm. High school mm-hmm. kids have yeah. done it as their senior projects. And, you know, there are a lot of creative people here, so.
Yeah.
So what are you going to dress up as, Teresa?
Well, I have a couple of different princess dresses. I don't think I have a crown. Oh, wait, I maybe have a tiara.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have a costume closet.
Lot of us have seen Teresa dressed up in all kinds of things around, but not a princess yet. So.
Yeah, I think I have kind of a Snow Whitish dress.
Right.
So, yeah, I might be a yellow-dressed princess. I'm not quite sure yet. I have a pink floofy one, too.
And the music will be delightful. This is live music. Again, this is one of our local band, the Astoria Community Band, and they are donating their time also because they know how important this organization is to the community. Yeah. Happening June mm-hmm. 2nd, 1-2, that's a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what time is that?
It's from 1 to 4. And the activities begin at 1. We'll have cake walks on the half hour, I think, every half hour.
Where'd you get the cakes?
Oh, my gosh. We have amazing cakes that Teresa was able to get our community to donate from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm just so happy. We have so many people that have helped make this possible. We have cakes and cupcakes from Simply Cakes by Jay, Mustang Sally's Tasty Treats, the Danish Maid Bakery, and Bakery and Deli by the Sea. And then we're going to have some delicious food from Bagels by the Sea and Columbia Fruit and Produce.
Holy
and
moly.
The Astoria Co-op and the Blue Scorchers making us tons
Whoa.
Of cookies. And then we also have a raffle basket with donations from the Hair Gallery, the Sheer Heaven, the Columbian Theater is donating some tickets. Marco Davis is donating dance lessons.
Ooh.
We have Massage by Lynn Headbloom. Yeah, we have a lot of great stuff. The community just really helped
us
put this together.
Okay, folks, now that we wanted to hit you with the princess and the dragon, but now you're hearing the rest of the story here. This is a fundraiser for the Healing Circle, Voca, and it's happening Sunday, June 2nd from 1 to 4 at the Elks, which is on 11th Street, just north of Exchange. It's one of my two favorite dance floors. The other is the Masonic Lodge. I must say, beautiful, beautiful building, the Elks. If you haven't been there, that itself is an experience. So, yeah, anything else we need to tell? Ocean, we know what you're going to dress up as. Are you going to get your fingernails painted or any of that kind of stuff, you think?
Yes.
What are you looking forward to here? What do you think is going to be the most fun?
I really like the parade, and the cakewalk is one of my favorites.
Oh.
And there's all kinds of my favorite arts and crafts.
Oh, cool. Have you ever won one of the cakes at the cakewalk?
Yes.
Aha. So here we have a winner right here in the room.
An experienced cakewalker.
An experienced, yeah, that's great. Anything else we need to know about this?
Well, I want to just thank the folks that are helping us with the Brenna at the Hair Gallery, Kimberly Sheer Heaven, Salon Boheme. Those are the folks that are helping us with the hair and nail session and providing some stuff for the raffle basket as well. So it's, as you can see, it's a huge amount of community help. That yeah. And that's what Voca is all about, really, is our community coming together to help kids.
And we should let folks know, even though we're talking about hair and nails, who doesn't like them done? Voca is for boys and girls.
Correct.
Girls and boys. Mm-hmm. So this is for the whole family, little ones, bring your parents, and everybody can have a great time.
Yeah, it's definitely open to boys, too. We made sure we have some fun. Are they dragon puppets? Or, yeah, we've got and some games that boys will like, too. So.
Right, and boys and girls often mix and match anyway, as we will know at Voca. So thank you so much for coming in and for putting this on and for taking responsibility for helping to run the Healing Circle all year round. And Ocean, thank you for coming in, and I'm going to see you at the party. I haven't decided what I'm going to wear yet. Maybe you won't even recognize me. We'll see. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. The Healing Circle, one of the wonderful organizations here that makes our community a better place. Got some music from a group of musicians. They're, this, again, one of my favorite bands, Three Leg Torso. They've been coming around for a while. They're going to be here on June 1st, Saturday night, at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. That's my tune, Zemeratique, my theme song. You might get to dance that at the Royalty Ball for the Healing Circle even, because the band might even know how to play that. Well, right now I have a guest who is doing something entirely different. I love all these entirely different today because they really are. Chris Roccaro is here. She wears many hats, and she will be wearing a different hat later next month. But right now, she is putting on a solo cabaret concert called All By Myself. How appropriate. There you go. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Carol.
So what is this about? Because I have only known you in the theater.
That's right.
As a director, which is what you're going to be doing next month.
That's what I'm doing next month,
so
yes.
What are you doing this month?
Well, my being a director is only a disguise I wear, because my true vocation is as a performer and as a singer and a stage actress. And it has been far too long since I did a solo cabaret show. And so about a year and a half ago, Doreen Dunlap invited me to be a part of the Paul and Mary Barthelemy Community Concerts for the 2012-13 season. And I said, thank you very much. I'd love to. So here we are. It was so far in the future, and now it's
and now
2 days
here.
Away.
Yes. That's a good point. Let's let folks know you're actually happening this weekend.
That's right. Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. at St. Catherine's Episcopal Church in Manzanita.
Okay, and Manzanita is a very small town with one main street. Is it on the main street?
It is actually not even in Manzanita.
Oh, no, it's on the highway.
On 101 as you make the curve around to the left to head toward Wheeler. You go past the Shell station and it's right there on the right, St. Catherine's of Alexandria.
Yes, there we go, with quite the name. So, all by yourself, what are you going to be doing? You're not going to be all by yourself.
I'm not all by myself.
You're going to have a pianist.
It's a very ironic title because one is never all by oneself, and nothing I've done in my life have I accomplished on my own. I've had a great deal of help, and I'll be talking about that as I present my songs, and I will be accompanied by Rhys Marshburn, mm-hmm. who is a wonderful pianist and composer and accompanist that I know from Portland. And he will be there and doing a couple of numbers also.
Soloing?
Himself. He will be opening each of the halves.
Okay. That's good of you to let him be all by himself.
I'm gracious
as well.
That way.
You are. So what are we going to hear from you, though?
We are going to hear a lot of different things. I'm going to do some Sondheim and the other show tunes, Harold Arlen. I'm particularly excited to present a couple of numbers that were written by people I met in New York City when I lived in New York back in the day. Mm-hmm. And worked in various venues. These songs would not be any ones that you would be familiar with, but they were written by aspiring composers, mm-hmm. and I had the opportunity to work with these men and work on these particular numbers. One is an independent number, and one is part of a show that was never produced because he was never able to get the rights to the story of Robin and Marion. So the movie that Sean Connery and Catherine Hepburn starred in, this young man wrote a musical version of it, but he was never able to get the rights to the story.
So, without prying too much, how long ago were you living in New York?
I was, I gave up trying to shield my age. I was living in New York City in the 80s. I moved to New York in 1979 and lived there until 1991 and did a little bit of theater, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. The most remarkable accomplishment of my time in New York City was meeting and marrying my husband. So that was a lucky break, and I keep that little token with me all the time.
Now, were you from here, or was he from here, or how did you come
I'm a native Oregonian.
You are.
Yes,
oh, okay.
And I was born in Coquille, as a matter of fact, down on the southern Oregon coast, grew up in the Portland area, and then I went to New York to seek my fame and fortune in 1979, and got a theater job, a touring children's theater job, and Stephen, my husband, was in that company, and we've been together ever since.
Very sweet. Speaking of children's theater, I just want to pop in something, a couple of things. First of all, tonight at the Liberty Theater is the Astoria School of Ballet, Velveteen Rabbit, at 7 o'clock. I highly recommend it. I saw the children's version, shortened version today with 700 children, and I enjoyed it. It's a real ballet. It's not recital kind of thing. And I also want to mention that our underwriter for this program, the Astor Street Opry, we mentioned the 29th season of the Shanghai and Astoria, but they also, this year, they are doing a teen show. And that is Rapunzel, and it's opening on Saturday, June 15th. So I just wanted to make that correction. So you're back here, and you are, and we're not going to talk about it because we've got a date for then, too. But what are you directing for next year?
I am directing.
For next month.
For next month. Right. Yes, we open June 21st. I'm directing A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
And I saw that on Broadway way back.
It's a great piece of theater.
It is fabulous.
It's a great piece of theater.
So you work on your own stuff as well as directing. Do you still live in Portland, though?
I do live in Portland, and when I come out here, they graciously put me up in their little visiting dignitary apartment at
Excellent.
The Coaster Theater.
Excellent.
And it's, I enjoy my time
okay.
at the Coast.
Well, it sounds like the cabaret and musical theater that you'll be performing almost all by yourself will be absolutely delightful. Again, that is happening this Sunday, the 26th. At St. Catherine's of Alexandria Episcopal Church. That's a mouthful.
It's a big mouthful.
And it's at 3 p.m. And indeed, it's 36335. I actually wrote it down, but I didn't look at it. Highway 101 North. It's between Nehalem and Manzanita. So go a little early so you can find it if you are not familiar with it. And Chris Riccaro is spelled C-H-R-I-S-S-E. You may ask her why, but that certainly distinguishes her from all the other Chris's around. So thank you so much for coming in, Chris. And I don't think we say break a leg to a singer, do we?
Well, you can say that, although okay. I'm wearing new high heels, so I'll be a little nervous about that.
I don't want to wish you that. So have a wonderful concert.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. I'm going to put on a little bit of music very briefly and then bring in Jill McVarish. Our own Astoria, Jill McVarish. So here we go. And this is Banana from the Youngbloods, and he is going to be one of the hot shots at the Tenor Guitar Gathering coming up, starting on the 30th. That is this week on Thursday.
When the road gets too long and you run all out of songs and the pain just gets too much for you to bear, turn around. When the storm clouds starts to blow.
Oh yeah, they, them's the blues, folks. That's Like a Road, Penn Nick's song, sung by Grandpa Banana. Even grandpas get the blues, but you won't get the blues if you live in our area because we have so much going on all the time. And Mark's going to be coming up in a minute, but first I wanted to introduce you. Many of you already know Jill McVarish. If you don't know, if you think you don't know her, when you see her, you'll go, "Oh, it's you! I know you." Isn't that right?
Probably.
Does that happen
Everybody
to you a lot?
Everybody knows me because I walk my dog everywhere.
There you go. Well, I remember when I saw you, I went, "Oh, that's Jill McVarish. Oh, I know her." So you have a concert. You have a show opening on June 1st. Someone is singing in my ears. Oh, is that what it is? It's our second service. What do you know? And sounds good, but opera is not what we're doing right here, right now. Jill's show is called Dissonance and Harmony. I love this. Music and altercations, as in fighting. And her stuff is fabulous when you see it, and it's very realistic, except... why don't you explain what I mean?
Well, I think it's very realistically painted things that are probably never really going to be seen in real life.
Like, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
For example, tell us about this fabulous painting that's sitting here.
Well, I brought in a painting and I know it's radio, so it's kind of hard to...
Wait, she's going to hold it up to the mic.
Yeah, there, so everybody... there you go. Yeah. No, It's a very realistic portrait of a possum who's trying to play a clarinet, but like clarinets do, they come apart in pieces, and he's kind of panicking because his clarinet is come in half.
And the look on his face is just precious. So where did this idea come from? Dissonance and Harmony, and you've got the music and the fighting, they're all kind of, what's going on?
Yeah, well, we started because I was scheduled at the Riversea to have my show in June, and as a lot of people know, there's the music festival coming up in a couple of weeks, and so we thought it would be a really fun idea to put together a show that was all about music. And somehow, as I was doing the pieces, fighting came up as a subject as well that I thought was really interesting, especially juxtaposed with the musical performances. Then there would be wrestling and boxing and pirates, and it's kind of more of following with the theme of things that you don't expect to see together.
But it's all inclusive, isn't it, Jill? I mean, you've packed a little bit of everything and everybody in there. People can see some of these pictures, actually, can't they? On the, I think, on the Riversea website, or do you have your own website? Or
I believe it's all going up next Friday. I think that right. when but, the show goes up, she puts it up on the website.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe I was lucky. Oh, to get in advance. But yeah, the idea of music and fighting revealing both sides of modern culture. So, do you have a favorite side?
Boy, you know, they're both exciting in different ways. It's hard to choose because they're so different.
They share a lot of qualities. So the intensity that can go on there.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's one of the things I was trying to illustrate was in doing musical pieces, also dissonance in them, like the broken clarinet or in the boxing and a lot of the fighting scenes, just the incredible beauty of the human body and and the contact that's really physically intimate, you know. So the idea was to take a subject that you wouldn't associate with beauty and try to create a beautiful image of it.
And you are trained in making art. I notice you have a BFA from the San Francisco Art Institute, but then you went off to Europe.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Which is part, speaks to a little bit of the style of your paintings.
Yeah, when I was going to the Art Institute, they had a program there where you could do a year abroad at a school, and I chose to go to the Gerrit Rietveld Academy in Amsterdam, and I was just blown away by the Rijksmuseum. Like, I got one of those passes where you can just go as often as you want,
nice.
And I just couldn't stop going there. I mean, the Dutch masters are just incredible.
Yeah, and the lighting is something, isn't it? Which, again, you've captured. Yeah. Well, it's come full space. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in California, in Davis. College town, close to Sacramento.
It's a little hot there in the summer.
It is warm, yeah.
Well, you don't have that problem here.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about Oregon.
That's
yeah.
great. Well, we're glad to have you, and we're delighted with this show. Is this your first solo show here?
First solo show with the Riversea, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Excellent. And your first time on, no, you said you were on KMUN before, so no virgin she. Okay, Astorian artist, painter Jill McFarish. June 1st is the opening from 5 to 7. The show runs through July 2nd. You'll be there, I'm sure, because you're going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then will you be there also on second Saturday as well?
I'll be there on second Saturday, and I'm there every Thursday and Friday painting the walls and hanging the shows.
Because she works there. There you go. Excellent. Well, congratulations on the show. I love your work.
Thank you.
Okay. I am going to ask my next guest to just start plucking away, and I'll let Jill...
Don't go out late, there's nowhere to go. I'm home about 8, just me listening to KMUN radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving all my love for you. Just you, Carol.
Aw, shucks. Me and the tenor guitar. That's Mark Josephs. He's got his tenor guitar in his hand. And he is amazing because he had this concept and he just works tirelessly. And one of the most amazing parts of it is most of his life is in L.A. where he actually earns a paycheck, which enables him to do foolish things like think he can start a festival and follow it through and have it really happen. So congratulations, Mark. This is very exciting. Tenor Guitar Gathering 4.
That's correct.
TGG 4.
And it was all because 4 years ago when I was looking around, I went over to Gordon Styler, Gordo, and I said, you know, he had the Astoria Guitar Company. I said, can we have something here? He said, sure.
Just so like that. Yep.
It was really because of Gordo that all this has happened. He was a big part of it the first 3 years until he passed away. And this year we're dedicating Tenor Guitar Gathering 4 to the memory of Gordo Styler, who was... Well,
And anybody who ever listened to KMUN, KTCB, knows Gordo because he was on at least 2 to 5 shows a week. He was the most amazing. Everyone here just so much appreciated him because he brought this collection and huge amount of knowledge. And he shared it, and he could pop in on lots of different shows. He had a strong radio background. We loved him. And he also put on the Big Red, that benefit, and brought stars to town. He was a very open and generous man, and we miss him here. So thank you for dedicating Tenor Guitar to him.
It's a pleasure. And his brother, his only sibling, Bill Styler, has, because Gordo started, helped to start the Tenor Guitar Gatherings, his brother Bill has become very much involved. He's built some very unique, one-of-a-kind tenor guitars, and he's going to be here this year, too.
Ooh, lovely.
We're actually going to say a little something about Gordo on Friday night, and Bill and some other people will be there.
Okay, now, I've been playing music for the last few weeks on my folk show as well as on the arts show of various folks. As a matter of fact, today I already played Gene Mann and, of course, Banana. But I've also played Renegade String Band in Michigan. And I've got a song of yours I'd love to play, but I think I'd rather get the information and play this later. So tell us who all's going to be here. And before that even, when does all this start? It starts this coming Thursday?
Thursday, May 30th. Yeah. There's flyers around town. And if you're not in town or you're just in the sound of my voice, you can go to tenorguitargathering.com. It has all the information. There's a lot of things happening, more than I can actually say. But the main event is an evening of tenor guitars at the Astor Street
Opry Company
Playhouse on Friday and Saturday, starting at 7 a.m. and going to around 10, maybe a little bit later.
Oh, great.
Tickets are only $15 a night or $25 for both nights, and a part of the proceeds go to benefit KMUN and also the Opry Company.
And that's why he's allowed to give prices. A lot of you who listen to this show know I don't let my guests. We're not supposed to be giving prices. But when it's a benefit for Coast Community Radio, we're allowed. So I'm going to definitely buy my double tickets from Mark as soon as I can.
I bought a ticket myself.
You did.
I bought one because I wanted the numbers to go up.
Yes, yes.
I bought one for me and my wife.
That's great.
So,
well, we do. It's a wonderful. I know last year, was it just last year we were over at the Performing Arts Center or something? Or was that two years ago? I can't even remember.
It was last year with the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
And this year, I've invited so many tenor guitar players to attend that there weren't enough for one night. So we had to make it two nights.
Two nights, and it's going to be at the Playhouse, the Astor Street Opry Playhouse, who's underwriting this show, as a matter of fact, helping to underwrite. And again... it starts on Thursday, though. But so the best thing to do is go to the website to find out all the events.
Yeah, because there's things happening at McMiniman's, the Sand Trap.
Clemente's, Bridgewater. You are spread all over the place. And it's very... Oh, look.
And at the Rogue Ale House.
Yes, and at the Coffee Girl.
Now, this year, there's a couple of different things. We have a luthier exhibit, which we never had before because people asked, is there a place for luthiers?
And tell us what that is.
A luthier is a person who makes a handcrafted instrument.
Okay.
So it could be a guitar, ukulele, tenor guitar, and they'll be at the Pier 39 at the end in the banquet room.
Oh, good.
All 4 days from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m.
So this is an exhibit of handmade, handcrafted instruments
from luthiers who've come. One guy is driving from Colorado.
Oh, so you actually have the craftsmen here.
Yeah, these are their These are their instruments.
Oh, wonderful.
And what I say is we've got a space for you. We encourage you to come here. We charge them nothing to set up. If you happen to sell an instrument, maybe you want to donate some money to the Tenor Guitar Foundation.
So are they going to do any demos while they're there?
We'll probably have jam sessions there. We'll be hanging out
there. Okay, that'll be more likely, yeah. So, that's going to be a blast, too, and that's on 39th Street. So this goes all through the town, all through Astoria, and then also in Gearhart for the McMenamins. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday night, we have the Renegade String Band. It's going to be at Fort George. And on the regular 8 o'clock on Sunday evening. So it's a whole, and are you guys going to take over the trolley at some point too this year? Or is that
we
not
are. Gonna, We're planning are? To get on the trolley. We don't want to tell everybody about the trolley because there won't be enough people to get on.
But it's so fun.
But we're planning to get on the trolley. We get on the trolley and we play our instruments.
Right. And then they go walking through town. You see this mass of people with their instruments. It's really a blast.
It's serendipitous. You know, if somebody says, let's do this, we'll do it. It's like a band. We tend to improvise a lot. We have a kind of like a structure.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some flyers out, and we'll be in certain places certain times. But anything could happen. Now, we will be on your show
next week. We are going to have an hour of tenor guitars, and it's going to be fantastic. We'll give everybody a chance and let them, what was the name of Jill's show? Dissonance and Harmony. We'll have a little dissonance and harmony here right on the air.
Maybe we'll commission her to have possums playing tenor guitars. You know, nothing is.
Now, here's a question someone asked me. Well, I never even heard of a tenor guitar, and I'm going to ask you to tell folks what that is and why it is and how old it is and who played it and that. But also, can I come with just my mandolin or with my six-string guitar or
washboard? Sure. Anything is welcome. Sure, you can come with any instrument. It doesn't really matter.
So for the jam sessions, anyone can play.
Right, as long as you tune it first.
Oh, except the washboard. I'm in luck. I don't have to deal with that part of it. So tell us briefly, what is a tenor guitar and why?
Well, the fun about the gathering is that most people don't know what a tenor guitar is. They're very familiar with all other instruments. You mentioned the word tenor guitar, they're at a loss, even if they've been playing their whole life.
Right.
So that's where I get enthusiastic, because I can tell them something they don't know.
That's fun.
A tenor guitar is basically a tenor banjo, which is a four-string banjo tuned C, G, D, A. And they took a tenor banjo neck and put it on a guitar body and called it a tenor guitar. Why did they do that? Because in the 1900s, the tenor banjo was the most played instrument.
Oh.
People didn't play guitars. You look at all those old pictures, they're all playing four-string tenor banjos.
Oh, my goodness.
So when guitars became popular, they just said, what am I going to do? I don't know how to play the guitar. We'll put a tenor banjo neck on a guitar body, and that was the creation of the tenor guitar.
Wow.
Then, like everything else, it took off in different directions.
Right, right. And some of the notables?
Who play the tenor guitar? The most notable of all time is Nick Reynolds of the Kingston Trio. And because his picture's on so many album covers and YouTube, people saw that four-string instrument. The person who played it before him was Rabin Delmore of the Delmore Brothers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Blue Stay Away From Me and all that. Right. But nobody ever saw pictures of him.
Right. But you know what? I bet a lot of people saw the pictures of Nick Reynolds, didn't even notice that was a four-string guitar. Just because you see it so much, you don't pay attention. That's very interesting. Go back and find your albums, folks.
And Josh Check Reynolds, Nick Reynolds' son, has been here every single, from the very first one, Tenor Guitar Gathering One. He's been really such a strong supporter. He'll be here this year with his a trio called the Lion Sons because they're all Leos.
Oh, sweet, sweet.
One other thing about the tenor guitar, and Nick Reynolds is in the Tenor Guitar Hall of Fame. Rabin Delmore is in the Tenor Guitar Hall of Fame. And this year, we inducted our first live person living.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Robin Hunt. He's around 77 years old. Ooh. He's from Barbados. He's been playing the tenor guitar for over 50 years, and he's so excited to be inducted.
Is he? He's not going to come, though.
No, but
bit of a distance there.
He's very happy, and he's a great tenor guitar player.
Lovely. Oh, my goodness. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming in and giving us a hot button. Folks, again, they're going to be here on this show next Friday, but the festival, the Tenor Guitar Gathering, starts on Thursday. So go
Kicks
to
Kicks off as a Coffee Girl.
Coffee Girl, okay.
9 a.m.
And 9 a.m. till 11:30 a.m. on Thursday. That's Pier 39 Meet, Greet, Jam tickets and T-shirts, too. And then 11 a.m. to 5, again, that's that Luthier exhibit every day. And Clemente's from 12 to 2 on Thursday with Gene Mann, whom you just heard. 2 to 4 at the River's Inn. You get a little free time in there from 4 to 7, and then the Sand Trap is featuring Professor Doug Fraser and Easy Mark Poshman. We are out of time to talk. I just wanted to give you the Thursday stuff. Friday morning, 10:45, is the trolley if you happen to be in the room. And then listen in next week, and you'll hear everything else. But go to the website and catch the information. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you, Carol.
Why don't you play? We only have 1 minute. I just want to tell folks a little bit about what else is happening. Coaster Theater is closing 84 Charing Cross Road. It's the last weekend. Tonight, tomorrow night at 7:30, Sunday at 3. And the Peninsula Players have Neil Simon's Odd Couple, the female version. And that is happening at the River City Playhouse, Friday, Saturday, 7, Sundays 2. And auditions for What I Really Wanted to Know I Learned in Kindergarten on Wednesday and Thursday. The Curse of the Hopeless Diamond Dinner Theater, 7 o'clock show at 8 is at the Riverbend at the Tsunami Grill. And Hans and Catherine are going to be at the Sand Trap from 7 to 9. This is all tonight. And don't forget the Velveteen Rabbit at the Liberty Theater at 7. Thanks so much for being here. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, CoastRadio.org, wherever you are in the world. Make peace.